It's very easy for us to see, I think, how consulting can fit right into that picture. And like I stated before, even if your client has not posed this question to you, don't think for a minute that they're not wondering if you and your services, if they're worth the investment, because 9 times out of 10, they are. You just may not know that that's what they're thinking, and they may not know exactly how to measure it. So what they're relying on is really a feeling, and we never want to leave such a huge evaluation of our services up to just a feeling, up to chance, up to something that's subjective.
Welcome to the Excel at Consulting podcast, helping you to use your expertise to advance in your career, business, and create a life you love. I'm Dr. Angelina Davis, and I'm a clinical pharmacist, consultant, solopreneur, and working mom. I'm here to share all that I know about growing your career and business while striking a little bit of work-life balance. I believe that it's possible to have all that you want and more. It just takes a little work, and I'm here to make that journey a little easier. We'll dive into strategy, time and project management, leadership, and so much more. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 8 of the Excella Consulting Podcast. So let's talk about ROI. And if you're wondering what that is, it is return on investment. I'm sure you probably didn't tune in to this particular podcast to learn anything about kind of the details of finance or, kind of business. And I can't teach you that. But what I can do is tell you how this particular concept is so valuable for you as a consultant. And so, of course, we're going to change it up a bit and, talk about how ROI fits into consulting practice because the premise pretty much remains the same. So let's get started. What is ROI? So return on investment is typically considered a financial term. It is the return that's realized from a financial investment. And pretty much that just describes how well an investment has been at generating income. In very simple terms, what I like to tell people is you're asking the question, was it worth my money? And I guarantee you, even if you haven't heard this question from your clients, they are thinking this in their mind, was it, meaning the investment in you, worth their money? And we all kind of experience this throughout life. For instance, when you think about purchasing a home, and let's say you're purchasing this home because you're interested in having a rental property because this rental property could generate additional income for you. You invest in the property, you fix it up, you put as many bells and whistles as you can to attract hopefully the right tenant or the right renter, and you have somebody who, in essence, you agreed to lease to. And that can either go one of two ways. Either you can have someone that becomes a good or great tenant and one that's not so great. When you have someone who is a good tenant and they take care of the home and they pay on time and they're very careful not to cause any issues with, police citations or any other problems, then you're able to make money and you're not spending a lot of money trying to fix problems or trying to repair the home for things that probably should last a little bit longer. You're not following up to try to get back pay or rent that you did not receive. And so, in those cases, a good tenant or a good renter allows you to make money. And typically that will be worth the investment because it's generating the income or, the additional income that you desire. But when you get someone that's bad in there, and I cannot necessarily personally speak to this, but a family member of mine rents a number of properties, and I can definitely speak to their experience because I have helped them try and recover from a bad tenant or a bad renter. And in those instances, when you have someone that is able to rent the home but doesn't take care of it, I mean, they're putting holes in the walls, they have destroyed the carpet, they have torn up the cabinets,
And also, they've caused issues with the outside landscaping or resulted in an issue where, for instance, my neighbor actually rented her home for a period of time when she moved back to DC. And we had an incident where the renter's dog actually bit a salesperson who came by to try and sell some type of service. But either way, that caused a lot of issues for her legally as the owner of that particular property. So when you end up in those situations, whether that's, you know, my family member or my neighbor, you are spending a lot more money or more money than you anticipate it and yet you plan for, and definitely more than you're probably making. And so in those instances, that property becomes a drain. You know, it could also just be a bad investment. Maybe the house wasn't up to code, or there are other issues with the home. In those instances, it becomes a drain and you're losing money. And when you're losing money and you're having a bad experience, you know what? It's not worth it. It's, you know, there is no clearly identifiable return on investment. And so it's very easy for us to see, I think, how consulting can fit right into that picture. And like I stated before, even if your client has not posed this question to you, don't think for a minute that they're not wondering if you and your services, if they're worth the investment, because 9 times out of 10, they are. You just may not know that that's what they're thinking, and they may not know exactly how to measure it. So what they're relying on is really a feeling, and we never want to leave such a huge evaluation of our services up to just a feeling, up to chance, up to something that's subjective. So what I'm going to suggest is that we be very proactive about defining this measure for our clients, because we can increase the likelihood that we'll meet their expectation and actually yield a positive return on investment.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Here are 4 reasons why. 1 is free. Who doesn't love that? 2, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Super simple. 3, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. And 4, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
For years, consulting has been loosely tied to the bottom line of many companies. Definitely if you're working with another business, and even when you're working with individual clients, they may not have had access to information to properly assess the outcomes from hiring a consultant. But here in 2020, that is changing. People have access to so much more. Do you know how easy it is to actually research things now? I mean, they have capability of really using a smartphone or a computer, definitely hiring other consultants, reading, etc. The information is out there and is everywhere. And there are guides to help them better evaluate the benefit of consulting services. Additionally, other stakeholders are looking for ways to hold consultants accountable. They want to know that the decision to hire a consultant or a consulting firm or a consulting agency, that decision was the best decision for their business. And so they're turning to this familiar concept of ROI because it is one that is very well understood in the financial realm, in trying to apply this particular term to consulting to assess services. You may be wondering why this is the case. Why is there such a fixation or a need to really evaluate consulting services? You know what you do. You know how great your services are and how transformational it is to work with you and with your company or business. However, let's be honest. When we're spending money, we want to know that we are spending that money in the right place. And really, much of what people believe about consulting, or what, or rather what they perceive about consulting, really comes from other other views, and maybe it could even come from a previous experience. I know that for myself, when I worked at a large hospital previously, actually, we had a number of consultants that were hired periodically because we were the hospital that captured many of our patients that were unable to pay or uninsured patients. And so we typically ran in the red. And as a very large inner city hospital, we were constantly flooded with consultants that were trying to figure out how we can conserve our resources, how we could save money, et cetera. And every time we heard the word consultant, I can tell you that as an employee at that time, it was a very a period of high anxiety, because when you heard consultant, you would think, oh, they're coming to cut jobs, they're coming to cut pay, they're coming to completely upheave and unravel the processes that we currently have in place. And it just wasn't a pleasant experience. And oftentimes when a consultant or a consulting firm left, as an employee, you did not always recognize or could not really see what changes had been made or if a positive change had been made. And so there is this view of consulting that, you know, many consultants are, you know, really wasting time and resources, that they have a limited impact or give very poor advice, that they don't know what they're talking about when it pertains to that specific situation, hospital as I was in, or a facility. Also, people think that consultants are self-serving, that kind of has that image sometimes of, you know, being maybe like a car salesman, because you have to, you know, really land your clients and convert them from being just a simple lead, as well as just being expensive. So it's seen as an excess cost in with immeasurable results. And so when you think about all of these things and how others may view consulting as a practice, it's up to us to really change that narrative. Because what we do know is that this is not true for the overwhelming majority of consultants and consulting practices that are out there. Consulting is, you know, all about sharing and, you know, kind of selling your knowledge and your expertise. You're selling all of those things that you have learned over time, either through education or work or experience. And those things are invaluable. But we have to package them in a way that really allows us to prove that this value translates into transformable outcomes that can then be evident in terms of being a positive return on investment. And so this is where ROI for consulting really becomes essential. The exact methodology you would use to evaluate, you know, return on investment is very dependent on the type of consulting practice you have, but it will typically be multidimensional, and you will be looking at a number of ways and things that you can use to really define for your clients what they should expect to receive as a result of your services. So as you begin to think about how you're going to deliver this return on investment, or ROI, I want you to start by thinking about what you plan to deliver. You know, you really want to think about what your client is expecting from you. Are they expecting you to increase possibly their brand awareness, for instance, if you're in social media consulting? Or maybe they're focused on cost savings or some cost avoidance associated with having more structured and effective and efficient systems. Or maybe you're going to improve client or customer satisfaction. I mean, whatever you're going to deliver, you should be able to use that as your guide and the focus for your ROI work. And so you want to begin with the end in mind. We hear that phrase all the time, but it really is very helpful in projects such as these, because what you're going to do is you're going to use what you will deliver to your client in the end, what the client is expecting as a result, and then mapping back and figuring out how you can show that you've done the work. And once you're focused on whatever you are delivering and you know kind of what that end result should be. Then you want to think about how you're going to collect the data. This is really just all about tracking progress. I don't want to make it sound so sterile or scientific. I mean, it can get pretty scientific, but it can also be rather simple, especially when we're dealing with clients 101, kind of what our ROI would be and how we would structure this tracking process would be very different than another business or a larger facility. One of the easiest things that we can do is to look at just hard data. That's stuff like cost or time or even quality. I mean, if you're looking at cost measures, I mean, well, you're going to, you know, really focus in on the numbers. And like I was stating before, maybe some the cost savings associated with certain recommendations or initiatives that you may start, or cost avoidance. If you're looking at time saved, and those are kind of concrete, hard, you know, measures that you can pull from some type of data system or a record and really use that to show the difference before and after. But we, you know, it's a little bit trickier when we're getting into some of the softer data, kind of like, you know, I gave that example of increasing brand awareness. And so when you're thinking about the softer data, those things that are not easily found in hard concrete numbers. Now we can translate some of that into more concrete data or hard data. But if we're just using, you know, for instance, an increase in the number of followers on a given site, or increase engagement ratios, things of that nature, those are ways that we can turn some of the softer measures into harder, more concrete data. But other times, this may mean conducting surveys, you know, or really doing focus groups or pulling that information out in other ways where we can really, you know, study what the impact has been before our assistance and after. I mean, there are numerous ways for us to collect and to measure impact. And so I really want to urge you to be very creative in this process. You know, the whole concept of developing the proper measure and tracking and monitoring this data can be an entire course of itself, and definitely won't fit into one podcast episode, and I won't try to do that. My goal here was just to really have you start thinking about how you can begin to structure, you know, your practice so you're able to answer some of these questions that the client may have. And so, you know, when we're doing that, and we're trying to take this information in terms of what the end result will be, and then transform that into a way to define whether or not the investment in time in your consulting services has been beneficial, there are ways that we can do that. We can even turn this data into a hard and fast dollar amount. Now, those kind of calculations can get very complex depending upon what the client may expect or request of you. So for instance, one of the ways that we show return on investment is we have to fully take into consideration and calculate the cost for consulting services. So that may not just the amount that you're paid, but then also thinking about the amount of time that's lost in productivity and other work for that particular company, or, you know, the expenses associated with certain interventions or certain initiatives or projects that may have been implemented. I mean, there are a number of ways that consulting itself can be costly, and you want to take all those things into consideration. And so depending upon how much is being requested of you, you may have to build in some ways to describe some of, you know, some of those expenses. But then also, once again, you want to make sure that you're being very creative about capturing all of the ways that you're transforming practice. So, you know, even when I discuss thinking about the end in mind, be very broad or comprehensive in thinking about what your end result actually should be, like what you're actually delivering. Oftentimes, you're not just delivering on one particular measure. You're delivering a lot to your clients. And so by capturing that, we're able to, you know, really turn that into a hard and fast dollar amount that may
be more pleasing, especially as I stated before, if you're working with a larger business or organization. The bottom line is that we can no longer sit back and just ignore the fact that we have to show some type of return on investment as consultants. We really have to keep this at top of mind and know that our benefit, the reason that our clients are consulting us for help, for assistance, that in essence, they want to see a return on that investment, and we want to or should deliver on that for them. You know, really think as you're working day to day, how you can capture some of these measures, how you can begin to define this for your practice and see how far it will take you. I'd be interested to hear many of the, you know, kind of different results or the impact that you have had in your various consulting fields. Because I think that, you know, this work is definitely growing. It's something that we'll see more and more of as time goes on. You know, right now there are no hard and fast definitions for ROI in consulting, but I won't be surprised if that comes along sooner than later. It's definitely the topic of conversation at many events and other networking opportunities for consultants. And I think it's something that we all should keep at top of mind. That wraps up another episode of the Excel at Consulting podcast. It's my hope that you enjoyed your time here and that you'll join in again for another conversation all about consulting, maximizing your impact, and achieving that work-life balance you deserve. Until then, you can follow me on Instagram at Excel at Consulting, and I hope to see you, hear from you, talk to you again soon. Take care.